I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 6 here today. We have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord has stuck this verse in, seemingly out of place, but God has His purpose in this. And I didn't know how to title the message today except just to put down pearls and pigs, because that's what the verse talks about. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's Word. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Let's pray. Father, this morning we ask that you would open our understanding, help us to see your purpose in this verse. Lord, I pray that you would guide us as we try to explain the verse. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing I want us to look at is the pearls. What exactly is he talking about? Not casting before swine and not giving that which is holy to the dogs. What is he talking about? Well, he says here, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The pearls are the spiritual truths that God gives us through His Word. Now, there are many things in the Word of God that you won't understand until the Holy Spirit opens your understanding. And those are the pearls, the precious things that God gives to you as you study His Word. They're things that you need in your life. They're things that you need to help you to walk in the Spirit, to stay in His grace so that you can live for Him and be useful to His purpose. And everybody's spiritual gift determines what those pearls will be in your particular situation. And so God says that we ought to value those and not throw them to waste. If you've ever been around hogs, when I was younger, we raised hogs and had many hogs. And whenever you would throw anything out there for them to eat, they would just fall on it. I guess that's the reason they call people who overeat hogs, because they eat anything they can get their teeth in. They don't care what it is. And so they have no value in anything. They love mud. And one time our chickens got in the pen with the hogs, and they just run over the chicken and trampled it into the mud, and it was just covered in mud. Anything that gets in front of a hog, they're going to trample. And so the Lord says, don't. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. When we put anything in front of a pig that we love, it's going to get destroyed. So God uses that for an example. And He says, don't take the things that are holy, the things that are precious to you, the things that you love because God has given them to you, and don't cast them before the swine. And we're going to look in a minute and see what the swine are, what the pigs are. But first, let's look at the spiritual aspect of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of God, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now understand what he's saying here. There are things that God gives to everybody. The gospel message is for everybody. The lost, the saved, everybody. Because the gospel is good news. And he gives the understanding of that through the hearing of the word. Faith is created within a person. And God gives them enough faith to be saved if they respond to that. But those who respond, God continues to grow. You notice he said comparing spiritual things to spiritual. In the Old Testament, he says it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. God gives us one truth, and once we understand that, then that's the basis for understanding the next truth. And once we understand that, then those two become the basis for understanding the next thing. And so God builds in us a wisdom of understanding of the precious things that he has done for us. But he says the natural man can't grasp that. He just can't get it. And so if we try to give all of that to a lost person, it just messes them up. And not only that, it will mess you up too. There are some people who make their whole purpose in life to try to discourage all religious thought. Have you noticed that? People who will mock anything that is good. They will try to twist everything that the Bible says. They will do a great study in heresy so that they can give you an answer for all the different things, and they will try to confuse you. Now, why they do that? It's because the devil's got a hold of them. They think it's really wise. But the Bible says they professing themselves to be wise become fools. And so it is dangerous for them, and it's dangerous for the young Christian to cast those pearls before those swine. Now, the revelation that God gives you is special. The revelation he gives me is special. Special for you. Every one of us have a different purpose, a different job with the Lord. And so God designs special revelation to us from his word. Now, it's never contrary to his word. It's just a different aspect of his word. And we understand it because of our spiritual gift. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we read that, God gives us an understanding of his love for us. And we can grasp that truth specially for us individually. And God wants us to understand that because those things are precious, and we have to have those things to grow in our faith. If anybody derails that, it's going to give us problems. And so we have to be very careful to protect those things that God gives us specifically. And God's revelation is sealed to us. Listen to what Mark 4, 9 through 12 says. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, now listen to this, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Now, God makes a difference. The same words will affect saved people differently than lost people. The same words will affect people who are lost differently, those who are through their early obedience are seeking God, and those who are rejecting God, those will hear the words differently. And he says, it is sealed to you. It's given to you to understand. Why? Because we have responded and we've been born again. We have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow him with our hearts. If we stop following him with our hearts, we're going to get confused. And so God seals to us the ability to understand precious things from his word that lost people can't understand because they're spiritually discerned. Now let's look at the pigs. He says here in verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Now some people say, well, we're not supposed to witness to certain people. Witness to everybody. The sower just slings seeds. It falls on all kinds of ground. It falls on all kinds of hearers, but it is for everybody. Anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is simply our job to cast out the seeds. That's for everybody. When he's talking about the pearls, he's talking about those precious things that are yours. Those things that God has given to you and has led you into a deeper walk through those truths. Those become pearls for you. He said, don't throw those out before the swine. Now, how do we identify the swine? You remember, just before he gets to this, he says, now, don't judge people. Don't do that. And now he says, you've got to identify swine so that you don't feed them your pearls. So how are we going to do that without judging? Well, we just need to know who we can and can't give this stuff to. Not judging them, but just simply identifying who they are. First, there are babies. You don't choke babies on meat. You give babies milk. All right? Now listen to what he says here in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here he tells us that baby Christians, we do not choke to death with the pearls that God has given us. We lead them along slowly and easily. I think one of the big problems in seminary today, and we see the results of that in our churches across America, is that we assume people who come to seminary are mature Christians, and they're not. I've seen many of those young preachers who could not name the four Gospels in order. There were people that couldn't tell you whether a book was in the Old or New Testament, had no knowledge of the Word of God. And then they just had all this stuff dumped on them, and they came to the wrong conclusions. It is a very, very dangerous thing to feed too much information, because information puffs up. And instead of becoming wise, they become puffed up and proud. It's a very dangerous thing. So God says, be careful not to give that which is holy to dogs, and not cast your precious pearls before swine. All right. But then there's another group, and that's what I call the bullies. We've all known them. They have some pet doctrine that they try to cram down everybody's throat. It may be all they know about the Bible, but they have studied that, and they've got all the answers, and they just try every way to cram them down everybody's throat. Listen to what Jude says about them in Jude 1, 10 through 16. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, these people, when you recognize somebody that all they want to do is argue about the Bible says the man of God must not debate. We're prohibited from that. We're not to lay out all of our precious truths before them so that they can just stomp on them. Because what that does is it not only hurts your faith, but all those around that's hearing it, it hurts them too. And so we must be very careful. What do? When people begin something like that, we just withdraw ourselves from them. Paul puts it like this: those that are ignorant, let them be ignorant. Don't try to educate a fool, because it's not going to work. Let the ignorant be ignorant. Most of these bullies are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, because instead of turning to God for salvation, they have turned to the world to find arguments against salvation, to find arguments against the truth, to come up with their own ideas, their own doctrine, to come up with their own truths so that they can fortify themselves against anything to the contrary. Just withdraw yourself from them, because they will hurt you, hurt all those around. While you may try to straighten them out, they've already made up their mind not to be straightened out, and they're going to tear down everybody around them in the process. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 22, Peter refers to them as beast. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Notice both Jude and Peter mentions the Lord's Supper here. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You notice we have the same two animals represented here, the dog and the sow. You see, God warns us against this kind of religious person. And these are religious people. These are people who have just enough religion to inoculate them. They have just enough religion to build a case against it. And they have no problem taking the Lord's Supper in vain. They have no problem representing themselves as followers of Christ while the whole time they blaspheme. And they pull in converts, promising them liberty. You can do all these different things. You can take dope, you can drink, you can do whatever you want to do, because we have liberty in Christ. People say, all right, I like that. And more pulled in. God says, don't cast your pearls before them. Why? Because they're not people who are going to be converted. They're people who've already made a decision against Christ. They're opting for plan B salvation, or plan C or D, not plan A. So when you run across somebody like that, the Lord says, shake the dust off your shoes. Separate from them. Because when we begin to debate with them and try to straighten them out, all we do is give them something to push against. We give them a podium, a platform to spread their malicious heresy. God says, just separate yourself from them. Now let's look at the principle. He says here, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. In this, you see a couple of things. First, the reaction that they're going to have is very clear. He says they're going to just trample them under their feet, and it's going to hurt you in the process. You're going to lay yourself open before them, and they're going to just walk on you. And God says it will have no effect on them except to hurt them. Been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from it. And so we hurt them and ourselves when we mess with them. Now, first off, the principle is this. Everything is done in stages. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, now look at this, and teach all nations. That's everybody. Give them the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We only baptize those who respond in obedience to the gospel. Amen? And then those who respond to the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Lost people need nothing but the gospel. It will do no good whatsoever to teach a lost man how to love his neighbor. Not going to do any good. If he doesn't want to be saved, the Ten Commandments are useless to him. Whenever we teach the gospel, those that respond, we baptize. And then we begin to train them in the ways of God. There's stages to it, you see. And so God wants us to be very methodical in the way we go about our witnessing. We share the gospel. Paul, when he was going into a heathen culture, he said, I have purposed in my heart to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. That's the message. Take it or leave it. And so he put the message out there. Now those that got saved, those that he baptized, then he brought them aside. And that group he taught. Salvation is for everybody. Don't ever forget that. No matter what people say, no matter what people try to cram down your throat, salvation is for everybody. It's God's will that everybody be saved. Everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, listen, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's important. If you convince somebody against their will, they're of the same opinion still. You just overpowered their opinion for a little while. But whenever you lay out the gospel message and it speaks to their heart and they respond in faith, then they'll be saved. So salvation is for everybody. Sanctification is only for the saved. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. This is important to understand what Jesus is teaching us in this little verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see the progression there? Sanctification is only for those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells Timothy, now he led Timothy to Christ. He said, my son, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's step number one. Until you have sanctify the Lord God in your heart, you don't have a message to share. But once you have sanctified the Lord God in your heart and you're strong in the grace that God has given you, then you look for faithful men. There are Christians who are not faithful men. Amen? There are a lot of Christians who have not learned the art of faithfulness. Once they have become faithful men and they are committed to growth and to following the Lord in obedience wherever He may lead, then you begin to teach them how to be faithful so that they then can do that to somebody else. The spread of the gospel is through sanctification. Whenever we think about reaching the world for Christ, God has a better plan than we have ever come up with. You know what that plan is? Each one teach one. If you spend a year of your life telling somebody everything you know about Jesus, a whole year, and then the two of you take one apiece, and you do the same thing for another whole year, and then the four does the same thing. Did you know that in 40 years you run out of people on the planet? Not enough people on the planet to keep doing that for 40 years. One person started. And you know something else? I've done the math on this. It doesn't make much difference if there's 100 start or if there's one start. Makes a little difference, but not much. That puts it down to the reach of every individual. And we're not just talking about going down the road and seeing how many people you get to sign up. We're talking about taking your life and put your life into one person for a year. And then they take their life and put it into another person for a year, and you take another person, and you just keep doing that. Within 40 years, you run out of people on the planet. And you say, well, how are you going to get people to do that? You won't. But we ought to do that for whoever wants it. If somebody wants to grow in the Lord, and they come to you and they say, I want you to teach me everything you know, we ought to be willing to do that. You know, you may not be far ahead of the person you're talking to, but you can bring them up to where you're at, and then both of you can find somebody else. You know, every one of us knows enough about God to lead somebody to Christ. We all know enough about God to bring somebody to maturity through the grace of God, walking in the Spirit. We need to share that with somebody. And as we do that, we can fulfill the Great Commission. God wants us to just keep on reproducing ourselves in other people. And so as we do that, he says, now that you're going to come across a few people, they're not serious. They don't love me. They're not looking to grow. They're just looking to try to cause trouble. Just shake your dust off your feet. Don't lay your pearls out. They'll just trample them under the feet and hurt you, hurt those that you love, hurt those that you're trying to bring to maturity. Leave those alone. And then he goes right back into his sermon. I think it's interesting. When I first read this, when I was going through it, planning to preach on it, I thought, it's a funny place to put that. Right there in the middle of all the things he was saying. But you know, what he's given us before and after is going to make us very vulnerable. So he says, now, protect yourself. And here's how you do it. And so that's what God wants us to do. Now let me say to you this morning, you know your heart like God knows your heart. If your heart is totally sold out to God, then you're going to grow in the Lord as you obey God. But if you are just simply trying to get to heaven, but you don't want any strings attached, you need to rethink your salvation. Because what we do when we believe in Jesus is we believe in everything about Jesus. We believe in everything we know about him. We believe that righteousness is the very best way to live your life. If you don't believe that, if you think the best way to live your life is in sin, now I'm not saying those who believe that the best way to live your life is in righteousness is going to always do that, but we're going to always believe that. We're going to always desire that. And that's the one earmark that you need to look for in your life. Do you want to live holy, or do you want to get by with sin? That's the two options. There's a whole lot of Christians who name the name of Jesus, but all they're trying to do is buy fire insurance. That won't work. And the way you know that is how you feel about sin. Even though we sin, we hate sin. And even though we sin, we love righteousness. And we confess sin as sin because we hate it, even in ourselves. You say, well, why are you saying that? Because I don't want to see anybody go to hell. You may be comfortable and all happy in your salvation, but you really do not want to live for Jesus. You need to know that. Because you see, Jesus said the way is real straight and narrow. And he's not talking about your performance. He's talking about whether you go through the door or not. You know who the door is? That's Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood righteousness. It's the only hope we've got. If your trust is in him, you're going through the narrow door. But if your trust is in anything else, it's not going to work. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, let him have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the application in our lives. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, that you would save them before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.